Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to another Behind the Bets podcast. Third this week, I'm Doug Kazarian. We're talking UFC 232, giant curveball with John Bones Jones. Basically, the organization said, we value you, so we're going to move the fight. And that's what happened. It's now in California instead of Las Vegas. Brett Okamoto coming up. Remember, we've had him on the pod before with the Conor McGregor fight. Good insight. Brett and I go way back. Buddy of mine from back when I worked there. He worked as well for a local newspaper in Las Vegas and now obviously covers MMA for you for us here at the ESPN. So Brett Okamoto straight ahead with some analysis and picks, and let's get to it.
Kicking is for losers.
Normally, yes, but not in the UFC. When you're talking about kicking, that is a good thing, and that's when we bring in our good buddy Brett Okamoto. Does a fantastic job covering the UFC. Brett, how are you, my man?
I'm good, Doug. I'm good. I'm in Los Angeles. When I thought I'd be in Las Vegas this week, which is a bit annoying because, as you know, I live in Las Vegas, so the home game is always nice, but I guess LA is not too bad.
I know. That's the big curveball. You had to adjust your plans and had to hit the road here. So that's the big story because it was the venues changed a couple days ago, which is just remarkable when you think about all the logistics involved, and especially for the fighters. So I think from a gambling perspective, first question is, in your eyes, the outcome of some of these fights, how much have any of them changed because of the venue relocation the last minute?
I wouldn't say that any one outcome has, you know, definitely changed to the point of like where I thought one guy was going to win and now all of a sudden I think the other guy is going to win just because it changed the venue. I don't think it's that drastic, but I think it's one of those things that's going to impact different guys in different ways. I mean, so one of the guys on the card, Curtis Millender, he's from LA, so this was actually a good thing for him. He didn't even have to go to Las Vegas. He just stayed here the whole time, so that's a positive for him. And then you got another guy who you wonder if this had any impact on him, and that's Montel Jackson. Montel Jackson missed weight today at the UFC weigh-in. He's facing Brian Kelleher. And did the change in venue impact his weight cut? You know, because the big thing, especially for people who are listening to this podcast and want to gamble on fights to pay attention to during fight week, I think is body language, confidence, but also their weight cut. Because a bad weight cut can obviously impact your performance on fight night. And when these guys had to get on another flight in the middle of the week and go somewhere else, and then they're having to redo their medicals, it's just time-consuming. And during that time, you're also trying to cut weight. Did Montel Jackson miss weight because of everything that happened with the location change? It's possible. And will that impact him on the fight? It's possible. So that would be sort of the general things I would give you in terms of what to look at on how it'll affect the fights on Saturday.
And I haven't read every single piece out there. Have we seen anything like this before?
No. We've never seen the UFC pick up a show and move it for the sake of one person. And not only that, it was a holiday week. It just complicates things.
Yeah, it's just a giant unknown. That's the thing. So when as gamblers, we try to like remember when we've last seen something and think if we can glean any wisdom from that and apply it moving forward in terms of predicting stuff. But here, there's just going to be a lot of narratives out there from a betting angle, and there's really no way to kind of shoot it down because we've just never seen this. This is uncharted territory.
And I would say this. It impacts different guys in different ways, like I said earlier, but also just different personalities. You know, some guys are just more go with the flow, and they're mentally, you know, they're not going to get rattled by something like this. Other guys, they're going to get upset by this. They're going to focus on it. They're going to think, you know, there's a state tax in California. There's not a state tax in Nevada. I had to go get medicals on this day when I had them already done. I had to go do this. I had to go do that. And they're going to be distracted by it. So if you think, as a bettor, that you are reading somebody's body language or you're listening to them talk and they had a bunch of family coming into Las Vegas and now they don't, and you can tell that they're irritated by that, you know, it may be something to look at, because really what this boils down to is distractions. It's distractions and weight cutting, and different guys are going to handle that in different ways.
I'm glad you bring up those things, because that's something I definitely would look at as I covered this sport back when I lived in Las Vegas, and you and I would see each other a lot at So, like, the press conference, excuse me, the weigh-ins are Friday. There's, like, a press conference Wednesday. But even there's, like, open workouts on Tuesday, right? There's a lot of access we got and you get, continue to get, the week of the fight. And I think that's was always very helpful for me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you get in front of these guys, you see what these guys look like, and you can check their face and see if they maybe have been, you know, hiding a cut here and there or some bruising or whatever the case is. If a weight cut's going well, I mean, you have that is all about information, right? And you, of course, you're not going to get all the information. You're never going to get, like, if a guy's knee has been bothering it, but you get a good look at these guys. They do an open workout. They stand in front of you. Shirtless at a weigh-in. So you get a lot of information on during the week of a fight.
All right, well, let's start with the matchups. We'll start with the main event, John Jones. The reason this UFC card had to relocate to California, he's a $3 favorite over Alexander Gustafsson. And John Bones Jones, when he's right, he's one of the best all time, but it's such an unpredictable nature with this guy. How do you see this fight playing out?
Well, I think what's interesting about this fight, so first off, the distractions with John Jones, you kind of throw him out the window because this guy always has distractions around him, it seems
right.
Like. You know, even when things were going well, he's just one of those guys, and we used to say this about Floyd Mayweather too, that it doesn't matter what's going on in his personal life, what people are saying about him, whether the press is negative or positive, when he gets in there, he performs at an extremely high level. So I don't think necessarily the distractions of this event moving are going to be all that big of a deal. What's interesting from a just X's and O's standpoint on this fight is that this was the toughest fight of John Jones' career, even tougher than Daniel Cormier. I know everyone looks at Daniel Cormier as John Jones' biggest rival, but Alexander Gustafsson gave John Jones a far more difficult fight than Daniel Cormier ever did. And the reason he was able to do it is because he pressures John. He's got really, really good high-level technical boxing, and he's very big. He's long. He's rangy. He's a huge guy who moves like a small guy, and that gave John Jones a lot of problems in the first fight. Now, what John says is that, first off, I wasn't taking the sport seriously back then. I underestimated Gustafsson when I fought him. And now, none of that's going to happen. I know exactly what this guy's going to do. I understand his movement, his boxing, his cardio. I am intimately familiar with Alexander Gustafsson. But me, and what has made me great, is that I can fight in many different ways. I can fight you southpaw. I can fight you orthodox. I can take you down. I can stand with you. Alexander Gustafsson has no idea what I'm going to do in this fight. I know exactly what Alexander Gustafsson is going to do. And I got to tell you, Doug, I agree with John. I think that everything that he told me in that regard is extremely accurate. But I will say that just for the sake of what we've seen Gustafsson's style give him so many problems, I do think the line is slightly high. If I was going to bet this fight, I would bet Alexander Gustafsson.
So you would take the plus money there, plus 240 or so.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't lay the money on John Jones. Not after the long layoff, and not with the toughest fight that he's ever had in his career. There's no way I would do that.
I mean, how much do you think just the relocation is weighing on him, given that there's been so much backlash and complaining that he is specifically the sole reason for this?
I mean, I think it's going to weigh on anybody, you know, and I think that there's a lot of different – everybody seems as mad at John Jones, you know, and there's a lot of accusations being thrown out that he's a cheater. You know, he's failed 2 drug tests in the past, and now an abnormal test comes out, and, you know, then you start to get into the real specifics of that, and then, you know, California was willing to approve him, but Nevada wasn't. I mean, at the end of the day, he is aware of all that, and I think if he truly does feel that he is innocent, and when I'm around him, I get the sense that he does, that he feels that this was an abnormal thing, and that he has not taken any banned substances between now and last year. I think it's disappointing for him. You know, it's disappointing. Like, imagine making changes in your life and trying to do everything right, and then, you know, just your past continues to come back and haunt you. That would be a demoralizing thing. But like I told you earlier, John Jones, he has this weird, crazy ability to put all that stuff behind him and then just compete when he's in the octagon. And so I would imagine that's what he's going to do this weekend.
Well, frankly, all superior athletes do. You know, when you're at this level across the board, football, basketball, UFC, I mean, they all have that ability to compartmentalize and perform when odds are stacked against them because they've obviously overcome adversity their entire athletic career. Let's take a look at some of the other matchups. Let's just start with the next one on the card, Cyborg, about minus 250 here. And then there's some over-under props as well, right? This one's 2.5. The John Jones is 4.5. So feel free to weigh in there as well.
Yeah, I guess I would probably consider the under of the female fight. That's probably, you know, I'll be completely honest, that's probably the square side. You know, you get a fight with Cyborg, and you're like, oh yeah, let's take the under. I mean, that's probably what you would expect. And because these two women are so world-class, it could very well go all five rounds just because they'll make adjustments and, you know, they're just hard to hit clean. They're professional. They're professional fighters in every sense of the word. But the reason I would say you might want to take a look at it is because I think, I am guessing that Amanda Nunes is going to come into this fight knowing that if she's going to win it, she's going to have to stand her ground at some point with Chris Cyborg. You know, you can't go in there and just float around on the outside. I mean, that may work here and there, but over the course of time, that's what you're giving Cyborg what she wants. I mean, that's the kind of fight that she thrives in, is when she can hunt you around the outside. So I think if Amanda Nunes and her team are smart, which I think they are, I think that they know, hey, if you want to win this fight, at some point you're going to have to get Cyborg's respect. You're going to have to meet her in the pocket. You're going to have to hit her. Now, that doesn't mean stay in there. I mean, just hang out in there. But you're going to have to hit her with something to get her attention. And so when you're doing that, that's going to lend itself to big exchanges. So I would take a look at the under 2.5.
And what about the side here?
Yeah, I mean, the side looks about right to me, honestly, Doug.
Right.
Chris, everybody knows how good she is and how devastating she is. If I was going to take a side, I probably would take Amanda just because of the value. I think she has power. When you look at these two women stand next to each other, Cyborg is way bigger, man. I mean, when you look at those stare downs with one of these two, Cyborg, her frame, her skeletal structure, it's just bigger. It's more powerful. I expect her to win this fight. And another thing about Chris Cyborg is that she never has an off night, man.
No, it's understandable. And, this is not like 10 years ago when the UFC lines were not sharp. A lot of them are just on point, and that's fine. Let's turn it over to you. Is there any fight that jumps out to you where the money line doesn't seem like it's the right – is properly priced?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have any locks, I would say, on the card. But one that surprised me, I guess, a little bit, is the light heavyweight fight between Aleer Latifi and Corey Anderson. I thought Latifi would be a pretty – I don't want to say a really significant favorite over Corey Anderson, because Corey, he brings some interesting things to the table. He brings some challenges. But I think Aleer Latifi is one of those guys who's usually undervalued. You know, the guy is not a title challenger, and he looks like he's going to get beat because he's short. He fights in that 205-pound division, and he's extremely short. So all of his opponents tower over him. But I think stylistically, he can do what it takes to beat Corey Anderson. I don't think he's easy to take down. That's what Corey Anderson likes to do. Corey Anderson does have some boxing, don't get me wrong, but I think Latifi, the way that he kind of get in guys' face and remove that range disadvantage that he tends to have, I thought he would be a bigger favorite than only -140.
One line that's jumping out, because I was living in Vegas back when Matt Serra took down GSP. Now, I know there was some extenuating circumstances regarding George St. Pierre, and that probably contributed to the upset, but still, in the UFC, all it takes is one punch. So I always enjoy looking at the big, sizable favorites, especially when a guy at a brand name like BJ Penn is involved here, but he's not the heavy favorite. Instead, Ryan Hall is over -500 in this matchup. What are your thoughts there in terms of the one-sided money line?
Yeah, well, the reason BJ Penn is such a long underdog is because he hasn't been winning. I mean, I can't, off the top of my head, I think the last time BJ Penn won a fight was against Matt Hughes. And that was back, I think, around 2010. She's talking about a guy who has not won a fight in 8 years. So it doesn't matter what the brand says or how big his name is. He's going to be a long underdog under those circumstances. And I got to tell you, Ryan Hall is very good. He's only got a record of 6-1. But he's unorthodox. The reason this fight was really put together, I think, is because Ryan Hall is a terrific grappler. So we could see some grappling exchanges between these two. I would expect Ryan Hall to win those just based on his skill set and his youth.
Brett, always good catching up. I know you've had some connection issues with your cell, and obviously it's a very, very busy day with the press conference earlier. So we really appreciate your time and giving us some perspective and insight because, you know, everyone likes to get fire away on these cards, so it's good to get a man who's got boots on the ground, even if he had to relocate this week.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
And good catching up with you, dude. Travel safely. All right, so thanks to Brett Okamoto there for the emergency podcast. We had to send out the bat signal. Obviously, cell phone issues there. Kai, you can't build a cell tower? Come on, man.
Yeah, man, I was over here trying, but, you know, multitasking can be a you-know-what.
We couldn't run it up the flagpole and get a budgeted so we could fly out to L.A. for an in-person podcast? We're not big time yet?
Yeah, that's a little tough a couple days before New Year's. Nobody's here.
Yeah, that happens. That's true. John Jones didn't give us enough advance notice with that. So sometimes I have a boxing and UFC guy I reference. No plays this week from my guy, so we might tweet some out. But thanks to Brett, obviously good insight there, but just remarkable story there. So a lot of podcasts we posted this week. Best of luck to everyone with all the bowl games, week 17 in the NFL, and we will connect next week here on the Behind the Bets podcast. Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.